Praise God. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Last Wednesday night, we kicked off a series, and that series was entitled, Because We Are His. And we talked about the power of the Word of God. Everything we do, everything we don't do is not because of Pastor, not because of Abundant Life Center, but it's because of the Word of God. And we follow after the Word of God. Because in reality, when we stand before God, God's not going to judge us based on our opinions and our beliefs. He's not going to judge us on what Grandma did and Grandpa did, but He's going to judge us on what thus say the Word of God. This is our roadmap. This is our guide. And that's why the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And hide the truth in your heart that you may not sin against God. And so we talked about that last Wednesday. And so tonight we're going to dive in a little bit deeper into Because We Are His study. And Hebrews 12, 14 points us this way. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Peace and holiness goes hand in hand. If we don't have peace and we don't have holiness, guess what? We're not going to see the Lord. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. I just won't be long tonight. Thank God for that. But I want to talk about holiness principles, because there are principles in everything that we do. Everything we do, everything we don't do is because of principles. Not because mama said, not because daddy said, but because of principles. Even though mother said, don't touch that hot stove or you're going to get burnt. Well, the principle of that is the stove's hot. And if you touch that hot stove, you're going to get burnt. Mama said, don't go on, play on the road. Well, why can't you play on the road? Because you get hit by a car. The principle is, if there's cars on a road and you're in the middle of it, guess what? You're going to get hit by it. There's principles. There's a law of what you sow, you shall also reap. And so we're going to talk about some principles and holiness principles. So look to your neighbor and say, we're going to talk about holiness principles. Amen. So God's holiness is one of the most essential and absolute attributes of His divine nature, and is set laid out before us in the Scripture as a matter of great importance. It is special cause for awe and adoration, because it sets the standard for all holiness. And it will always remain higher than the highest holiness of men and angel, because it necessitates God's opposition to and condemnation of all sin. It awakens and deepens man's consciousness of his own sin. It sets before men their highest possible aspiration to do this, to be holy as God is holy. That's what we strive to be. Now, I know a lot of us can't just, you know, walk around with a big old banner waving around saying, I'm holy, I'm holy, look at me. No, because we're not holy like one another, but we're to be holy like God is holy. He's the one that we should ascribe to. And so on, Bible says, man is created in God's image. And that's what God talked about. He says, we've got to create men in our own image. And everything about God is holy. Everything about His nature is holy. And that's why sin and holiness, they can't abide. That's why when pride and when got into Lucifer and that jealousy spirit got in there, sin, disobedience, and God, they cannot dwell together. Holiness cannot dwell where there's evil. So it makes sense. If you want to live in evil world, you can't live in holiness. You can't, be holy on Sunday and then be evil Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They just don't coexist. You can't just, watch the Terminator right before you go to church and then expect God just to move on your life, because you're not going to be thinking about the heavenly things. You're going to be thinking about the Terminator things, right? That's why the Bible even goes a step further. He says the carnal mind cannot discern the things of the Spirit. That's why a lot of questions you have, if it's spiritual questions, you shouldn't ask somebody that's carnal. If you want to get help on how to become financially stable, you're not going to talk to the dude that's unemployed for 10, 20 years. If you're looking to lose weight and you're talking to a guy that's weighs 750 pounds, I don't think he's the best one to give you that advice. Right? But there's a lot of us, when we come to questioning the Word of God and questioning maybe convictions and what the Bible stands for, we don't go to good godly sources. We go to carnal people. And carnal people be like, I don't think you ought to go to church that much. I don't think you ought to bring your tithe to the Lord. I don't think you ought to pray. And you shouldn't have to be submissive to anybody. You know what I'm saying? The carnal mind can't discern the things of spirit. So if I want spiritual advice and I want a roadmap on how to live right and how to live holy, I can't find it in Dr. Phil's antidotes to live a great life. I've got to find it in the Word of God. Because the Lord says, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord, am holy." The origin of the word holiness is a Greek word, Akkadian and Sumerian, and the later Hebrew word, Kodesh, and the Greek word, Haganos, continue the meaning of withdrawal. And therefore, scholars define holiness to mean separate or set apart. So being holy does not mean withdrawing from something, but it also means withdrawing unto something. We are not separate or holy merely to make others look unholy. Rather, we withdraw into man's original state of communion with God as we live holy lives. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. That is why in almost every place that Paul refers to holiness, he does not refer only to culture, but he takes us all the way back to creation, to the original state. Because a lot of people say, well, you know, it's a culture thing. And if I'm in one area, I can live this way. And if I can go and live in another culture, I'll have other standards. Well, that's not God's standards. God's standard, if we're going to live holy, it's not culturally. It's got to be biblically. And so it's got to go back to creation when we were formed and when we were molded and when we were created in His image. For God said, "Let us make man in our own image." What image? A holy image. Somebody shout, holy image. That's why Paul calls for compliance in matters of practical holiness on the basis of creation, because we were created to fellowship with God in holiness. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. From God's perspective, the salvation process and the sanctification process are one and the same. When we are justified, our sanctification is positional, for we have imputed righteousness. When we allow God to lead us into holiness, our sanctification becomes experiential, for we are imparted righteousness. When we are glorified, and our sanctification will become eternal, for we will receive implanted righteousness. So let's talk about positional sanctification, because positional sanctification is just as complete for the youngest believer as it is for the oldest. It depends only upon one's position in Christ. So as a new Christian is as saved as any saint at the moment they're born again. But they are only beginning to walk with God. They are immature. They are a new babe in the Lord. And so if they're a new babe in the Lord, can I just tell you, let them grow and leave them alone. Let them first establish a relationship with the Lord and let God begin to do the work in their lives. For when God does the work, He always gets it right. We don't have to try to clean up anybody. Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We've got to be concerned about us and less concerned about others. Well, you know what they were doing? You know where they went? You know what they were involved in? You know what that? Who called you to be God's holy detective? You know what I'm saying? Because the problem with a lot of people, that those that love to point the fingers and find the flaws and find the areas of weakness in others is really masking their own weakness. And they've got skeletons in their own closet. That's why the word says, judge not, lest ye be judged. Work out your own salvation. When somebody comes here, we've got to let God do the work. Because we don't get good to get God. Maybe you did. Maybe you were good and God just said, okay, you're good enough. No, not for me. I had to get God to get good. I had to get God to get this knucklehead out of this old body and let God begin to create something new within me. I can't talk right, act right, live right, dress right if I don't have God. I got to have God. As I know where I was without God. You know where you were without God. You knew where you were when you didn't have a relationship with God. You were a scary sight to behold. Nobody liked you. You weren't nice. You were mean. You were vindictive. You were just so cruel to others. But when God got a hold of you, something changed. To the fact that now, even, you'll see people from your past, and they're like, something different about you. you don't act the same way. There's something different. I'm going to tell you what's different. It's God. The Holy Ghost in me. Because in me dwells no good thing. But when I get God on the inside, He makes me better. He makes me a better husband. He makes me a better father. He makes me a better person. I need God. And if you're honest with yourself, you need God. The only way you can love others, you got to get God in your life. And what our world needs, our world is so divided right now. We are in a crazy, chaotic, divided society. And they're not going to pass a bill through Congress that will unify us. You know what they need? They need God. They need God's guidance. They need God's direction. They need God's love. If we could get God working on the inside of us, we don't have to worry about anything else. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 9. Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. That's what Bishop talks about. Trying to live a life of perfection. I know, if I were to ask you, how many perfect people are in this house? If you husbands raised your hand, you'd get an elbow to the ribs. No, we're not perfect, but through Christ, we're striving to be perfect. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying on of the hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which is bare of thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Can I tell you, eternal sanctification will only occur in the believers at the rapture, when they are instantly and eternally transformed into a state of complete conformity to Christ. Holiness, so far as it appears in man, is an outcome of God's gracious work in salvation, and yet not without the proper exertion of one's free will and the putting forth of strenuous effort. Most issues of holiness are not salvation issues. They are Christian maturity issues. Let me say that again. Let that get into your brain. Most issues of holiness are not salvation issues, but they are Christian maturity issues. Only as we do not obey God in these areas does our willful disobedience become a salvation issue. The apostles obviously placed a great importance on many areas of Christian maturity, such as this: fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, holiness in spirit, submission, proper use of Christian liberty, good works, doctrinal and spiritual maturity. While one can certainly obtain salvation without understanding or immediately experiencing all of these areas, the apostles cast certain doubt on one being able to maintain their salvation without a desire for a progressing experience. Meaning, it's extremely dangerous to know and not to do. Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And only an immature or backslidden believer would ever have to ask, do I have to do this, if it's in the Word? When God let us experience the gracious gift of being born again, repentant of our sins, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling gift of the Holy Ghost, He saved us. But just saving us alone on an Acts 2:38 message is not going to keep us saved. You can't just say, well, back in 1975, I remember God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that. I don't want to take away that experience. But if you have not developed since 1975 and you've turned doing the same old lifestyle, this is not a once saved, always saved religion. There's got to be fruits behind it. If God has filled you and you've been born again, you're going to develop. God's going to develop in you fruits of the Spirit. Well, what's fruits of the Spirit? You got to start loving people. You got to start giving people mercy, people grace. God gave you grace. Why can't you give somebody else grace? Why are you so quick to judge? Why are you so quick to take out and terminate? God didn't do that to you. But if we do that, if we give out judgment and we give out cruel words, guess what? It's going to come back to us. But God says, you've experienced this. It's time to grow. It's time to do better. It's time to learn good works. It's time to learn the gifts of the Spirit and holiness in spirit. I've said it before, Brother Miller. I'll say it again. The secret of holiness is not the sleeve length. The secret of holiness is holiness in secret. When nobody else knows and nobody else understands what I do. Why? Because I'm not doing it for you. If I do it for you, I am doing it for show. Bible says, he looked at those people. He looked at the Pharisees and Sadducees. He wasn't mad at them because they brought their tithe. He wasn't mad because they prayed. He wasn't mad because they were, you know, in the synagogues. He was mad because they did it to be shown of men. He said, you look beautiful on the outside, but something's missing on the inside. He said, within, you're full of dead men's bones and all corruption. What I'm telling you is, if we're going to be holy as God is holy, it's got to be more than an Acts 2:38 religion. We've got to have fruits that'll back it up. So let's give some biblical perspective on holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. Holiness is an absolute requirement for Christians. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 through 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so ye be holy in what? All manner of conversations. Just because you can preach good, just because you can sing good, just because you can speak in tongues like a mockingbird, just because you tell Pastor, oh man, I've been praying all night, I've been up all night reading my word, and you're filleting people with your words, and your conversation is not pure, and you're talking about a brother, and you're talking about a sister, and you're not building them up, but you're destroying them. The Lord says you're not holy, because you got to be holy in all manner of conversations. Got to get your spirit right. Got to learn to talk right. Be nice, not just in here, but be nice out there. Be nice to the person that messes up your order at Starbucks. Be nice to that person when you're at the restaurant and they overcooked your New York steak. I'm telling you, when I was a waiter at Bible college, the waiting staff, they hated to wait on Sunday morning so-called Christians, churchgoers, because they complained, they ran them a lot, and they did not tip. They professed, hey man, we just had church, Holy Ghost church. I can't believe you brought this salad. Look at this salad. It's a mess. You call that a portion and you're mad at it and you don't even leave a tip. In all manner of conversations, not just what you speak out, but your body language as well. You know what I'm saying? When you're talking with somebody and they're like, and they haven't said anything, but they said it all over themselves. That's what God's, if you're going to be holy, you've got to be holy in all manners of conversations. I love being around people that when we talk, they're just a great conversation going on and I'm feeling good. And I love being around positive people. But people that I don't like to be around is when I leave them and I feel dirty and I feel, you know what I'm saying? I don't feel good. You are who you are, who you surround yourself with. Make sure your conversations are pure. Make sure if someone's saying something that your ears should not hear, you should say, hey, we ain't talking about that. There are times I do that. I said, hey, I don't want to hear it. They're like, well, what are you trying to be holy? No, I'm not trying to be holier than thou. I'm trying to be holy like he's holy. And I can't let evil communication come and defile this temple. It's a work in progress. Look at your neighbor and say, clean up your act. Just kidding. No fights, please. Because it's written, be ye holy, for I am the Lord, I'm holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God. Thank God for this church. Thank God for this sanctuary. Thank God for our musician team. And I love when Sister Vizcarra gets on there and just plays that sax. I mean, it's like Kenny Who. You know, she plays it. Thank God for this church and thank God for your worship. But I'm telling you, if we only live for God here, we've missed it. Because the Lord says, the temple is not here. The temple is here. You are a walking representation of somebody. This series is because we are His. So if you're not His, you're showing somebody else off. I want to make sure I'm showing off Him and not that guy. Because I am the temple of God. That the Spirit of God dwells. I've got God dwelling on me. I've got to protect my temple. Because listen to this in verse 17. If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are? I want to make sure that I keep a holy temple. And you're a gauge on how you can keep your temple holy. What conduct can you do to keep your temple holy? What ways, what areas can you work on to make sure that this temple is not corrupted? You think maybe stuff that we look at, maybe stuff we hear, maybe people we're around, maybe places we go. See, I'm going to tell you, I don't have to tell you everything I believe. If you just walk around with me for a week or so, you'll know what I believe by where I go, how I act. And I've got to make sure that if I'm really loving people, serving our world, wherever they're at. Look at that, wow. But we've got to take that with us. We've got to love people and be sweet to them. I was at the gas station the other day, and some lady came up and they ran out of gas. And they're at the gas station. I was like, all right, I'll fill it up. You know, I don't like to give out cash, but I'll give them gas. I'll give them food. And so I filled up their gas tank. And then all of a sudden, someone else needed me to put some air in their tire. So I was putting air in their tire. And one guy came up and said, I just saw you. Are you like the Good Samaritan in Tulare? And I said, no, I'm not. I could have said, I pastored Abundant Life Center. And No. If you got to tell people what you're all about, then you're not walking in His ways. Because if you got to tell everybody who you are, you're lifting yourself up. But you can live in a way that your temple is walking around in such an aura that you really don't have to say anything. And people already know. Bible says they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Why? Because they brought the good stuff into their temple and God began to shine. You want God to work in at your home and in your family and your friends? Get connected with God. Start reading the Word. Start doing some prayer. Start listening to good stuff. Good music. Preach it. You got so many apps now on this crazy device. Get on podcast and listen to the Word because it'll move on you. I don't know about you, but I love it. When I'm listening to something and they just break out speaking in tongues, I'm like, oh, man. And I just have a Holy Ghost party in my truck because I forget about everybody else around. Because this temple, it's not just a Wednesday night. Be holy, for I'm the Lord, I'm holy. If you'll make your temple holy and you'll try your best to live for God hard, it becomes easy. But the moment you say, you know what, I'm just going to try this church and you know, I'm just going to try. If you just live for God easy, it's hard. There is no way you could truly live for God if your temple has not 100% bought into this. You got to buy into this. And holiness must involve separation from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There's no way that we'll finish with all these scriptures, but we'll get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and what? I'll receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We've got to do our best to come out from among them. Bible said it's unwise to compare ourselves with others. If you're trying to compare your holiness with their holiness lifestyle, well, you know, they're doing this and they're doing that and they're living like that. If you're going to live like that and you're going to stand before God one day and he's going to say, why'd you do it? Because Brother Rudy was doing it. You know, he said we should do it that way. And God will say, what? It's the word. But Rudy's a great one to follow. Love Brother Rudy's heart. Amen. God hates those who reject holiness. God's big on this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 through 8. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, and then 12 through 22. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that God brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Can I tell you, there are people that will come in sheep's clothing that are not sheep, but they are wolves. And they want to do their best to trip you up and take you away from this. And they're going to say stuff that sounds pretty good to the ears. But if it's not in the Word of God, you've got to walk away from that, because there's going to be many people that are going to try their best to steer you away. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understood not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of righteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes, what? Full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb donkey speaking with man's voice forbade that madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swellings of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in terror. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than them from the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I'm going to tell you, it is a very scary thing for people to have tasted this, to go to something else. What God was saying in that word, God had brought you from an incredible, horrible pit, from an incredible muck of sin, and he saved you and washed you and cleansed you, and you got into this, and God began to impart into you righteousness and began to show you revelations of God. And all of a sudden now, because of what other people have said, they have polluted the word of God, and you have believed a lie. And now, Bible says, are damned. And it is worse now because you once knew what the right way of life was. It would have been better for you to have never experienced this and to walk out. I'm telling you, we've got such an incredible responsibility on our lives, our soul, our shoulders, because of the choices that we make and we don't make. We've got to make sure that we're living this life not for anybody else, but we're living this life for God. If you're not living this life for God, it is meaningless, because you'll be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You've got to get this in your heart. That's why the Lord says, get the word in your heart that you may not sin against thee. I've been a part of many bonfire services where I've had people throw in stuff in their life to say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that stuff anymore. To the fact that there were some kids that threw in, if I'm not mistaken, a soundtrack to Lion King. Brother Alex, I'm done. A soundtrack to Lion King. I'm like, what? What's Lion King? Lion King's not bad. You know, we could judge others by saying, you know, you don't have to do all that. But again, Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? Bible says lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset you. If God speaks into your life, don't listen to Lion King soundtrack. Maybe don't listen to Lion King soundtrack. I don't know, maybe whatever it costs you to do, I don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying? I just know, you know, those songs they sang. What's the motto? Nothing. What's the motto with you? You know, they sang, it was great songs. But I remember kids throwing stuff in the fire. And no doubt he may have done it because God may have dealt with him. But I remember people throwing in other items. There was one girl that threw in just a big old bag of clothes, man. And the fire just burned. I mean, it was crazy. Fire was so big, Brother Mendez, it was like from where you are to here, it was a big old circle. I mean, I had big old telephone poles. And they just threw it in. And I didn't know you're supposed to get burn permits. And we had desks in there. I mean, it was on North Mooney, the old church. And I had a fire truck show up and said, hey, you got a permit? I was like, no. Do I need to get one? He's like, it's too late now. Just watch it. But I said all that because kids were wanting to live for God. Kids are wanting to do what was right. And they're throwing things in the fire, not because God told them to, but because they were trying to please me. And because they did it for me, it never lasted. That's why we all grow at different stages. I've got a wonderful 17-year-old boy and a wonderful 20-year-old daughter. They've developed at different stages. You can't say, well, you know, Tristan, you ought to be at her level now because, you know, when she was your age, or you know what I'm saying? We can't do that. They're babies. You got to love babies. You got to nurture babies. Well, you know, they've been in it a long time. Well, what's long? A year, 2 years, five? What's a long time to you? Let God work with them. Let God deal with them. Because I'm telling you, what many people have done is they've cleaned up the outside too quick. At the inside, never got a chance to sink roots in. And because of that, when the winds blew and the storms raged on, no longer are here. And the Lord says, it would have been better for them to have never tasted of this than to taste of this and to walk away. We have a huge responsibility. Somebody said this for the Macintosh: don't tear down the fence too quickly without first knowing why the fence was put up in the first place. You may not understand it. You may not comprehend it. But if you could pray a simple prayer, God, I want to please you. Would you work on me? I really want to be holy, for you are holy. Could you help me in my manner of conduct and in my spirit and my attitude and the way I act and the way I talk and the way I live? Could you help me? If you will pray and you're open to God, guess what? God's going to speak to you. But if you'll always get caught up on the do's and don'ts of religion, you'll never make it. This ain't something we have to do. This ain't a legalistic thing. It's covenants. It's a covenant with God. It's an agreement with God. It's making up your mind. I want to live for God. And I want to do what's right. If you'll get it in your heart, I'm telling you, you'll be able to help generations to come because you got it for yourself. Let God do the work. And us mature folks, get our hands off the new ones. Let them develop a relationship with God. Because I remember where I used to be and what I used to be involved in. And I'm praying, God, help us. Let's stand on our feet tonight. I end with this. I think I already said it before, but I'm almost 48 years old. I can say it again. January 1st, we got the news that my brother-in-law passed away. He took his life. 52 years old. And as people were coming by the casket, they were paying their respects. He didn't realize how loved he was. He didn't realize that he had friends that really cared about him. While everybody else was, I don't know what they were thinking of, but I walked to that casket and I was praying for mercy. God, give him mercy. It's not time for us to judge and condemn. We got to be people that'll give mercy. We got to be people that'll give love. Give a second chance. I'm not going to condone anybody's sin, but I'm going to try my best to win them by love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, is that you have love. Don't get caught up in the do's and don'ts, but get caught up right here and saying, God, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. I want to be more like you. I want to act more like you. I want to live more like you. I want to help like you help. I want to give good things to people like you did. All across the building, would you lift up your hands and would you lift up your voice tonight? Would you just pray a simple prayer, God, help me to become more like you. Help me to love the way you love. Help me to give mercy the way you give mercy. Help me to forgive the way you forgive. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. Oh, would you lift your voice tonight? Hallelujah. We've got a few minutes. Why don't we step out of where we are? Let's line up this front. Let's come to the altar. Let's come with a heart that says, God, I'm going to try my best to get my eyes off everybody else. I'll get my eyes on you, God. Help me, God, to study your word. Help me to fall in love with truth. Help me live a life that's pleasing to you. I've got friends that need this. I've got family members that need this. I've got co-workers that need this. But God, I'm asking tonight that I get it for myself. That I don't just live for you on Wednesdays and Sundays. But God, this would become a lifestyle. This would become a habit. Help me to be holy as you are holy. And holy in conduct. And holy in conversation.
Use me, Lord.
Help us, God. Help us, God.
Take all of me, so Lord.
Help us, God.
See, you live.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Take my
God.
I will follow where you lead.
I want to be better, God.
I
want to be better, God. Help my spirit. Help my attitude. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Jesus, I love you.
Take all of me.
Jesus, I love you.
You live within my heart.
Hallelujah.
Take my
heart. Hallelujah.
Take my feet.
I bless your name, God. Thank you, Jesus.
I am yours and yours alone.
Sing this as your prayer.
Use me,
one more time. Use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord.
Oh, God.
Use me, Lord. Take all of me so the world can see. You live within my heart.
I love you, God.
My feet.
I love you, Jesus.
You
I love you tonight.
Yours and yours alone.
Hallelujah.
Use me, Lord.
Hallelujah. We've got to live this so the world can see it. The world doesn't look at you when things are going good. They look at you when things are going bad. Because we can't control what comes our way, but we can control how we react to things that come our way. And it's in adversity that people see our true natures. And I want to make sure that I show forth His love and show forth His ways in a way that they say there's something different about you. Live this life outside those four walls. Because if you'll do that, it becomes easier to pray. It becomes easier to read the Word of God. It becomes easier to connect with God. And guess what? You'll start to have heavenly dreams. You really will. And God will begin to work in your life. Be holy, for I the Lord am holy. We only got through a couple pages. We got several pages left. A lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff. We'll get to a lot of this good stuff. But really, the whole gist of this is, it's because we're His. It's who you're representing. I'm representing God. If I am a mechanic, I'm not going to be working on cars in my suit. Right? I'm going to be in my work clothes. But if I'm behind this pulpit or if I'm going to church, I shouldn't come with grease on my face and, you know, not showered for 2 weeks. I should get cleaned up, right? My best. This is the house of God. When you go into a court, it's amazing. When you go stand before the judge, man, you can't have a hat on. You can't be on your phone. They'll take it away. And when he comes in the room, you got to stand. How much more this place should we reverence this place? But not only reverence him here, but reverence him out there. Because if we'll do that, we'll win our city. God, I pray for blessings on your children tonight. I pray you'd go with them, God. I pray, God, that their homes, their family, their friends, their jobs, God, I pray that they'd make an impact on everyone they come in contact with. Let them share forth your glory and your true holiness through them, through their manner of conversation, through the temple, God, that you've given to them. Help them, God, be a living reflection of you by the power and the authority in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we give you praise. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Find two or three people. Love on somebody. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.